thank you, Lord, for the word of God, for the engrafted word which you say will save our souls. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ, for which Jesus is the head. Thank you, Father, that we're members in particular. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the parent that was left us to lead us and guide us into all truth. And I thank you for the good ground of our born-again spirits, in which when the seed of your word is planted, Father, when we tend that we care for it, Father, you can give an increase so that yours alone is the glory. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen
and amen. Well, for those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Victor. And that's it. Now, I've been here in this church for 17 years next summer. Seems like it was yesterday that I came here. I came just like anybody else, just sitting in the pew, believing that God was going to fix all my problems. Preaching was not my idea. He caught me off guard. He tricked me, I say. Bible says in Psalm 37, you delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desire of your heart. But it was not told me that it was not going to be my desire, it was going to be His, as He changes the program, the chips in our hearts. Amen?
Yep.
So, was ordained 1993, Father's Day. Founded a ministry, Victory Christian Ministry, in 1995. And I've been here and there, preaching the Word of God. I sat there like many of you, and I fell in love with Jesus. And I know it was the best thing ever happened to me. But He told me, and the best thing ever happened to Him too. In case you didn't know that. And I just found out that He is in love with me. In such a way that it's overwhelming. I was going to say to Myrna, I don't know what I'm doing here. I said, I take that back. I know what I'm doing here. I know what I'm doing. And it's because He has fallen in love with me and I have fallen in love with Him. So today, I'm going to take you on a little journey into the Word of God. I have some notes over there, but I don't know if I'll be able to follow them. We're going to open this book. I tell people this is the most exciting book there is. And this is not Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Doom. This is the Temple of God and the Living Stones. Amen? So, when I came here, I developed a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, thanks to my pastor and Pastor Cook and the rest of the teachers in this church. I love the Word so much that I sometimes get frustrated because I work full-time in the ministry and I have a part-time job. That I want to get into the Word of God in such a way that I'm right now not able, but I take the opportunity to redeem the time by the time that others put for me into the Word of God. I just take advantage of it. The other day, I was watching one of those preachers that I never heard before, an Islamic preacher. And I was surprised because I never heard an Islamic preacher. And I heard talking about the Quran and talking about their God and everything. And one of the ladies in the audience stood up and began to speak a testimony. And she began to derail the Western Christians, the religion. And I can feel within her, I can sense the animosity that she felt within herself. They had some young men sitting in the background. And they look kind of boring because I think they were put there for a reason. I don't know why. And the thing about it is that they begin to say that their God and our God is the same God. That even the establishment is believing and telling us through TV that their God and our God is the same. But you know, it kind of puzzled me because my Lord says that the words that He speaks to me, their spirit and their life. And you know, I was not feeling no life coming to me. I mean, I have watched the Ten Commandments, you know, and or some of the movies where they quote the Word of God. It might not mean anything to the actors, but it means something to me. It is spirit and it's life. I say, their father cannot be like my father. Because I don't know my Father fully, but I'm coming to know Him more and more every day. And I know that my Father does not send me across the world stabbed with C4 explosives to blow some people's life. I know that. I know that my Father does not send little children to blow up people around the world. As a matter of fact, one day, sitting over here in that corner, I hear testimonies of people that go places and they get so many thousands saved. And I said, Lord, I go places and I get one people saved. Two people saved. Never forget what the Lord said to me. He said, Victor, you're just filling the blanks for me. And I said, Lord, if that's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. Amen. 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 Because I know in Him, I'm always satisfied, right, fulfilling what He called me to do. Yep. Amen. Now, in reading the scriptures, I found out that being close to the Lord is not the antidote to get weird and to get strange. And it's not either the antidote to become a terrorist, to become an extremist. I'm going to show you on the scripture. Look with me in Luke chapter 9. Let me show you something. Look with me in verse 51. It says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and send messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Verse 53. And they did not receive him because his faith was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? He said, that will teach him a lesson. Now, where did they get that? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 1. I'm going to show you something. And keep your places there. Because they knew there was a precedent for them to appeal to him to ask that fire would come down from heaven to consume them. Now look at this. Chapter 1. It says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. And you know Beelzebub is the Lord of Christ. It's the devil himself. Yeah. Amen. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up, meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus says the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered, he was an hairy man, and girded with girdle of leather about his loin. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down, And Elijah answered and said unto the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And you keep reading the story, and he said, another man, another camped up with 50, and guess what? If I be a man of God, let there come fire from heaven and consume you. And the fire consumed them. But the third one, when he heard what happened to the other two captains with their 50s, before he got there, he was already pleading. He bowed down. He crawled, I believe, to that hill where the prophet was. And he begged him. And the Lord told Elijah to go down with him. You know what religion does? Religion wants to force a belief in people. I thank God that my Father does not force himself into my heart. Amen. Look at this. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Verse 55 says, But he turned, the Lord, and rebuked them and said, You know not what manner of spirit you're of. You don't know what sort of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And you know, there was a time that even in Christianity, so-called Christianity, men thinking that they were doing God a favor, they went to faraway places, destroying people's life, believing that was the assignment that God has given them. We need to know what sort of spirit we're of. And that only comes one way. You know, I saw on TV another person, a Buddhist. And I never seen a Buddhist worship, whatever it is. And this woman said, Having been a Christian helped me to be a better Buddhist. That can almost make you throw up, you know. Yeah. Because being religious had made her a better Buddhist. But not being Christ-like has no helper, being nothing. Because I know that she doesn't know my Father and your Father. My father is not into religion. My father is into family. I found that out. I remember one day, some of you have heard my testimony. I came from work all beat up like anybody else. And I know a lot of scripture. And my soul knows a lot of scripture. And my spirit knows a lot of scripture. But none of them did I remember. I just let the devil just buffet me. One pity party. All of a sudden, the spirit arose within me and said, Tell the devil that God is your father. I stood up and I said, Let me tell you something, devil. God is my father. And it was like, energy and this joy came in the inside of me. Why? Because I have a relationship with this God that called himself my father. Isn't that something? I have a friend from California. And one day he was searching the internet, and he found my website. He called the office and said, Is there anybody there can pray? I said, I can pray. So we pray over the phone. We covenanted some time to pray for one another. I've never done that. And he was asking me to pray for this man that was always interfering with his businesses. And he told me that this man was a witch that always hindered his business to the point that it failed, lost a lot of money. And we pray all this time, nothing happening. But I knew something was wrong. And then one day he called me over the phone and said, Victor, I give you permission to ask the Lord about me. And whatever he tells you, you tell me. And you know, I knew what it was, but I couldn't say anything at that time. Because there is a time, there's a time for everything. And one thing that I learned is not to spit out your mouth, your guts, so to speak, immediately. Usually a decision takes me quite a while, to say something. Yep. And then one day, Julie sent me an email to go and visit this man that came one time here, October 31st. And I went to one of the wards in Madigan where I work. And I went in there, and when I went into that room, here is this man with all the Catholic paraphernalia, you know, the crucifix, the medals, and all this stuff. And you know something? Didn't bother God at all. And it didn't bother me that he had all these crucifix. I look at it, and I say, well, you know, check myself in my heart. Didn't bother God. Didn't bother my father at all. And you know, that man, saved. Saved here, I believe. He came here, he got saved. So I asked him, Raymond, have you received the Holy Spirit? He said, no. Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? He said, yes. That morning, he received the Holy Spirit in that bed. Yeah. And then in the afternoon, I went to bed because I sleep during the day to work nights. I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw three men bringing a gurney to the morgue. Sometimes I open the morgue. They're in the hospital. You know, I see quite a few corpses. And the main pathologist, I call it that, opened the chest of this corpse. And when he opened the chest, he reached out and grabbed the heart and handed it to me. And I put it in a little bag. But you know something? When I look at that thing, it did not look like a normal heart. I know what a normal heart looks like. It looked like a piece of diseased meat. So, you know how dreams are? They change from one scene to the other. So, I'm standing next to them and I hear a voice because the corpse sat up. He says, oh, it's just a reflex. It's a reflex. You know, because the chemistry and the electricity in the body keep on going. And all of a sudden, the corpse stood up, walking. I mean, he had the flesh of an angel. It looks completely healed. And I woke up, and I thought, would it be that the Lord is saying that Raymond is going to get up? Or would it be my own heart that the Lord is showing me? Before I can take anybody's mold, I need to look at my own being, perhaps. So, I didn't think much. I keep meditating on it, but I didn't think much about it, so I kept it to myself. So, time went on, and about a month and a half later, this man called me again. Has the Lord said anything to you? And first I said, I don't have much time to speak. He said, when will be a nice time to talk to you? And I said, well, I just said it out of my mouth. This is a good time as any other time. And I began to tell him about this dream. All of a sudden, I said to him, I'm going to tell you something that you had never said to me over the phone when we pray for this man. It's going to go against everything you believe, against everything that you have said to me. But I'm going to ask you to do the unthinkable for this man. You see, because every time he prayed, he will ask that this man even be taken out of the way. Isn't that amazing? We believers, when trouble comes along the way, even if it's one person, we ask the Lord that they be removed, and it doesn't matter what way he uses us to get rid of them. And I remember a scripture in the book of Luke chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I should say. And I said to him, I'm going to read you a scripture. And please, I know that this is going to be puzzling to you. But this is what the Word of God says. You have, verse 43 of chapter 5 of Matthew. It says, you have heard that it has been said unto you, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despisefully use you. And I said to him, I know what you think, I know what you're believing, but I'm asking you to do this. Bless this man. You don't know if this man has made a deal with the devil. It doesn't matter. You and I doesn't know. I don't care if we haven't seen that he signed any pact with the devil. So you and I are going to agree that the Lord will use messengers, that the Lord will send somebody to minister to this man so that he can turn to his ways. And I'm going to ask you the very thing that you have not asked me yet, and it's this, that he be blessed. Begin to pronounce blessings upon his life. Begin to bless his socks up. Begin to speak blessings day in and day out. You know what I heard on the other side of the phone? Silence. Because that was not the answer that he was looking for. Because for our enemies, the last thing that we think for them is to bless them. It seems the most natural thing just to curse them and get rid of them. I remember one time I had this lieutenant gave me such a hard time. And I used to go to the bathroom to pray, look in the mirror and have a party, you know, a pity party with myself. I said, Lord. So the Lord spoke to me and he says, stop whining and take this opportunity to glorify me. Why don't you pray for her? What a shocker. You know what I did? I went to the doorknob of her office and I did not ask the Lord that she be removed. I asked the Lord to begin to bless her. And I said, Lord, I even pray for her salvation. And I'm not asking you to send anybody along her way. I want you to use me if it's possible. And you know something? Within 2 weeks, I found out that she was living. And that proverb that some of us know became truth in my life. Some people bless us by coming in into our life and others by leaving. Amen. Glory be to God forevermore. So I know that my Father and your Father has a way of dealing with our neighbor much opposite than what we normally think. Amen. Amen. I know that. How do I know that? I know that because of my fellowship with him. Remember what the Lord says? You have heard that it was said. And he said, but I say. So in between what we hear and what he says, there is a big gap in there. Mm-hmm. And we miss what the scripture is truly saying. When the Lord showed up and he began to expound on every one of the commandments, he said, you have heard, but I say. You have heard, but I say. You have heard, but I say. And some of us come to church and we sit on the pew and we hear a lot of noise. And we hear even the scripture. And some of that scripture we can even quote ourselves. But we don't hear what the scripture is truly saying. You know why? Because to come to know him takes an effort of your part. It doesn't come easy. Where I am today did not come because I sat in the couch in my home waiting for the blessing coming into the mailbox. I found out, according to the scripture, that he that doesn't work should not eat. And if I eat anything in the natural, if I eat anything in the gospel, it's because, and you pardon the expression, I take my butt out there and I work. But I don't do it because I'm looking for the praises of men. I don't do it. You know, when I fell in love with Jesus, it's like a driving force. It's like the air that I breathe. Without it, I don't see my life. I got nothing going except his life living in the inside of me. In the last 7 years, I've been almost all over the world, and I plan to go to the rest of it in the following years. Why is that? Because his life is at work in the inside of me. Amen. You know, in the scripture says that life is more than raiment in Matthew, and more than clothing, and more than the things that we eat. And when Gary Carpenter was here, he told us what true life is all about. In John chapter 17 and verse 3 says, this is eternal life, that they might know him, the only true God. Amen. and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And you know, the word there that they might know him is the word ginosko. You heard Pastor explaining that word so many times. And it is a beginning to know. It is a process in which you get to know somebody until you know him completely. Well, then, life is more than a rut for some of us. Life is more, you know, when I think about life, I thank God that he didn't leave us in survival island, survival planet. He didn't leave us a life of survival. He left us with a life that is abundant life. If all I have to look in life for is just from the time I go to work to the time I get off and then have a good time on weekends, I tell you, that's not life. Life is to know him. Another thing that I found out is this, that eternal life does not begin when I die. Eternal life has begun the day that he came into my heart. So what I start here, I will continue to do throughout eternity. Because that word ginosko, that word to know, means that there is an effort from my part to know him. Yes. Of course, it implies the help of the Holy Spirit. And it also implies that the one that is seeking to know him received the approval of the one that I want to know. That's why when the Lord says to those that wanted to get their way in, but I cast out devils, in your name we did this, in your name we did all that. And he says, I never knew you. What he was saying is, I never had a relationship with you that I approve of. Thank be to God that when we decide to know him, he's not hiding, that he cannot be found. John says, in 1 John, that life was manifested. It meant it lay open in plain view of everybody. That means that eternal life walk on 2 feet. The compassion of God walk on 2 feet for everybody to see. But to those to whom he was sent to reveal the Father did not receive the Son. In one of the scriptures, he said, therefore, he that doesn't have the Son doesn't have the Father, therefore doesn't have eternal life. Because life is to know him, the only true God, and the one that he sent. That is eternal life. Or life eternal, as the scripture puts it. And you know, when you have this life in the inside of you, you cannot do whatever you think you might want to do. This is a changing, it's a living relationship. This is an active relationship. This is a relationship of honesty. This is a face-to-face relationship. The Bible said that we have this glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes. We have that glory that doesn't fade away because that glory dwells in the inside of us. Man, and I wish I could get away with a lot of stuff that I thought it was going to be okay. And I heard counsel from preachers. I heard counsel from brothers and sisters. And when I went to fellowship with him, I received from him the opposite of what those that were around me were telling me. Why? Because of the life that is in the inside of me. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples, and I'm going to finish. There's a lot to say. I tell people I can spend all day, all night talking about him, and I can. Remember one day, came from work. And my son parked in the spot in front of my house. He had too many cars that we have. Man, I was mad. I'm the one that brings the dough in this house. How he there parking my spot? You know? And I was ready to go in there. All of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit in the air inside me. What is the problem with you? How many times I wait and you cannot walk a couple of steps with your son? Trust me, before I went into my house, I have a heart check and a reality check. Because to walk with him, to walk in fellowship with him, to enjoy the benefits of this life takes also to receive the correction that he has to offer, the training. But no training, like the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, seems to be joyful for the time, mm-hmm. but grievous. But I tell you, when I went in there, I had a reality check. And I did not say, zip, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. My son come one day around me and said, Dad, I got to tell you something. I said, what is it, son? I love you. No, I have to tell you this, Dad. I love you. I would have missed that if I would have fought just a little bit about a parking space.
Yeah.
Before Christmas, I corrected my daughter, 15. Slapped her a couple of times. Pride get her for about 2 months. Don't touch me. Don't do that. And I know she's dying to talk to me because I'm her daddy. And she's my daughter. And she's very special to me. And one day I'm walking there in Safeway. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, set for her a love trap. A love trap? I never heard such a thing about a love trap. I heard about this trap, rat trap, and all kinds of trap, bear trap, but never about a love trap. And immediately I knew what it was. When I was going by the ice cream, chocolate mean cookie, you know, ice cream. Oh man, I said, I got the bait for this trap. And when I get home, I thought I'm gonna put it in the refrigerator. And the Lord said, no, you give it to her. So I give it to her. She didn't refuse it. And then he spoke to me again. I did the same thing. And then a few days later, she's coming down the stairs and she bumped into me. And that melted her heart. And she said to me, Daddy, I love you. And I said, daughter, you don't know how long I've been waiting to hear those words from you. And you know something? I hear my God in the inside of me also longing and desiring that some of you can come and talk to him. And he's been setting love traps for you. And you've been thinking that is religion. It is not religion. It is a father that has gone after you as he had gone after me. Did you know? Do you want to know what kind of a longing this kind of a love has for you and for me? It took the second person of the Godhead to get off his throne and humble himself, according to Philippians chapter 2, and take the form of a man to come after us. And we get so prideful. Because I don't want to be one of those Jesus' freak. I don't want to be one of those, you know, charismatic Christians. But he did not come to make you a freak. He came to make you a son and a daughter.
Right.
Only if you want to.
True.
There's no, you know, twisting of the arm. But I tell you, once you turn yourself in, there's no telling what he'll do with you and through you and upon you.
Amen.
You know, many a time I heard Dave Robertson say that he's in love head over heels over our God. And I say, from my Puerto Rican mind, I cannot picture that thing. But you know, after all this year of falling in love with my Lord, I understand that my Father is head over heels over me. But not only over me, over all the believers. And not only over all the believers, over the whole world, because he did not die just for a few good ones.
True.
He came for a lot of bad apples. A bunch of bad ones. That's where we were.
Yep.
Oh, I know he loves me. And before I set out what I do now in the gospel, him and I had a conversation. I am persuaded. My self-esteem, nobody's going to hurt it because somebody said something about me. I'm already convinced. I'm already persuaded. Well, you might say, Victor, you're too... I'm not prideful. That, trust me, it takes a lot of humbleness to receive everything he has for you. And I have not yet received everything he has prepared for me. But you're thinking that your father and my father has prepared good things for you. How long are you going to sit on that pew before you get up and start doing something? Because if not, one day you're going to sit on TV and you're going to hear somebody saying, you know, Buddhism is the way to salvation. Buddhism, the way to salvation. Why? Because you have gotten no answers in this so-called Christianity. Mm-hmm. Well, that is because you have not come to know him. Because once you get to know him, you know what he thinks. You know how he feels. You know, people that tell me, well, I heard that word before. I heard the scripture before. I heard this. They don't know him. They don't want to know him. Because the only way to know him is not only by having been born again, but by receiving the word which he has left for us. I love the Word of God, and I thank poor pastor for the Word. My Bible is falling apart, but I'm not. Now, is your father like their father, or is your father different? I know that my father is different. I know. You know, I never prayed for prosperity and things like that. I know that as I seek the kingdom of God, all these things be added unto me. Amen. Never come here to the church to ask a penny to do something in the ministry. By the contrary, let me find the ways to bless. Yes. Have an eye, Pastor. Yes. And I had to speak about these things because the Lord gave me permission to do so. I'm not a person that will boast about things. And if anything I'm going to boast about my Lord. He is my Father. Amen. And He is your Father. And our Father will go to all lengths to provide for you what you'll be living for. But you know, you have to get on the moving. We were back there in the choir room, and somebody mentioned about the move of God. I always say, well, it's not a move of God. It's a move of us. We are the ones that need to get moving. Every time I see they say a move of God, it's a move of us. He's already, you know, He's already on the move. Amen? I mean, He is the one that's already take the first step. You know, when he came and he went like this, made a pass on you, like the one that was not looking at you, but he was falling in love madly with you. Can you see that? My mouth is so dry, I can hardly speak. Give me some water. And you know, none of them religions can say their subjects that their God is their father. None of them. Some of them worship God that are so ugly. I don't know how can they worship such things, you know. But we worship the invisible God. So it takes a lot of effort to believe and trust, you know, to trust Him. But I know that He lived because I know by experience that He is real.
Yes.
Watch Him. Mm-hmm. I go to the Indian reservation. And these guys over there, I don't even know how to pronounce them, their names. But I tell you, they love God. I see the 80-year-old Native American falling totally in love with Jesus. Just beginning to live at 80. And some of you at 35 have already given up. Stand up. This is not what I wanted to say, but that's what it is. I had good notes, I promise you. I study. Dave Robertson said something in one of his states that really struck me. He said, the highest calling is to uphold the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that is true? To uphold the character, to live that character of Jesus, that is the greatest calling. That is the highest goal. And so many a time I feel that I fall short of that goal. But I don't stop going at it.
Right.
Because I don't allow the devil to put no, you know, condemnation, guilt trip or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm just a fool for Christ. That's all I am. And may he fulfill the scripture. He takes the foolish things and the base things of the world to confound the wise. You know why? Because I believe my Father. No, John Guinan. We believe our Father. And we're willing to do anything, even if it costs us something. And it's going to cost you something. You know what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you your life. It's costing me something to obey him. And you know what is that? My pride. Everything that I think that I am, that's what it's costing me. My life. But I'm going to get everything he promised for me in this life. Eh? I'm not going to wait to eternal life because I already am in eternal life. I believe everything he said to me. I hear unspeakable things, you know, about him that he told me that I believe. Some of the things that I thought, because I thought they were too incredible to receive them. But you know, believing and trusting this God, in which he himself says, all things are possible to them that believe. I believe him. And I know I'm going to receive. I'm going to boast a little bit this morning on him. You know why? Because when I depart this life, I know I'm gonna have a something to offer to him. And it's not going to be a big house on the prairie. And it's not going to be a limousine in the driveway. It's going to be a Christ-like heart.
Yeah.
That is my goal.
Yep.
That is my goal. Yep. I know that is your goal too.
Yep.
Amen? Because we trust this Father of ours. He is our Father. I remember one day he said, I asked, God, why in the world am I doing what I'm doing? And you know what the answer was? He said to me, because you love me. Well, I didn't know you know that I love you. Because you love me. So when he promised to me all this stuff and he's showing to me, you know, next month I'm going to be 54. You wouldn't believe it by looking at me. You know why? Because eternal life, peace, joy, and the fountain of youth is not a thing, it's a person. Glory be to God forevermore. You're looking for joy and you think your mate's going to give you joy. You're looking for all kinds of stuff and you think somebody's going to give it to you. I found out that joy, peace, you know, and all this stuff, riches and everything is just one person. His name is Jesus.
Yes,
and that's all there is to it.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. I'm just waiting. If you like to wait, I'll wait. Praise God forevermore. You know, the other day, I lay down, and the Lord doesn't speak too much in dreams as he used to in the past. More he speaks through the Word of God. But I saw this man asking a man for a snake to play a yoke on his girlfriend. But it so happened that when he tried to take that snake and he got his head wrapped with burlap, tried to put it in the track in the car of his girlfriend, that thing got loose and he went for his ear. And begin to swallow him. And you know, I got up and I know the person. And that person is going to pay for everything he has done to his girlfriend, to his wife. He's going to pay for it completely. I know the person, you don't need to know. But he's going to pay. But you know what, there's another truth about that. That the first thing the enemy wants is to stop you from hearing the Word of God. Well, do I sound funny to you? Then I might be funny. But you better hear what the Spirit is saying to you today. I'm gonna keep talking. I don't know what I'm gonna say this, but I'm gonna say. Marie, you here? Before I went to Cuba last year, Marie and my dog, both of them got sick with the same thing, with pancreatitis, and they both got diagnosed with diabetes, both of them. My dog and Marie works for me. I should say for the Lord. And you know, after the music of $5,000 plus on that dog, you know, and you might say, Victor, I used to laugh at people that spend a lot of money on dogs, you know, until you have a daughter, God-given, and you wonder what you're going to do, you know. But, it got well and everything. I bought the thing home, and then after several months, it just went back to skin and bones. And my wife spoke about putting the thing to sleep. You know, in Puerto Rico, when they put you to sleep, they get you to bed, so you get to sleep. Here, it means something else. When they put you to sleep. So I know that when somebody says, Victor, we're going to put you to sleep, they get up. But you know, listen to me. I look at that dog dying. And last year I had four people with terminal diseases, and I prayed for all of them. And in the natural, it seemed that I failed, but I did not fail. It seemed like. I pray, it seemed like. You know, seemed like is not what appears, not what it is. Oh, the Lord spoke to me. Pedialyte. Pedialyte? So I began to give Pedialyte to this dog. And that was before Christmas Day. The next day the Lord spoke to me through a picture. I saw a picture. And it was the picture of the demoniac of Gadara, where the devil was being cast out of the man, and they went into the swine. And the Lord said, reverse. I said, Benji, the name of the dog is Benji. I cast the devil out of you in the name of Jesus. That was Friday. The next day, that dog was up and wagging his tail. And I said, Lord, how you answer this prayer, you know? And I prayed for all these other people, and I didn't get no results. Seems like. And I said, does the Lord care for dogs? You know, does the Lord care for dogs? Well, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Does the Lord care for oxen? He cares for oxen. He cares for dogs. Does he care for you? Yes, he does. He does care for you. Amen. He does care for you. He does care for you. So if you have sickness and disease, I want you to come up here real quick. If you came when Dave Robertson was here, I don't want you to come. I don't want you to come for another pass. If you have been praying before for sickness and disease, come. Come. You're going to get healed this morning. Oh, you're just listening to me and looking at me. What is he doing? Make no difference. You haven't been prayed for. You have not been here before to pray for the thing that I'm going about to pray. Zoma, the Lord's going to heal you this morning. Not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Yes, I'm almost done. I'm about to finish.